We'll greet you in Jesus' precious name. I enjoyed the service very much. Appreciated the devotions Brother Steve brought. It's one of my favorite Bible stories. For one, the man that wanted help was not intimidated by the multitude, the people. He wanted help. And I love how Jesus said in my own words, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? Jesus is continuing to say that today to those that are coming to him. What can I do for you today? Also appreciated the Sunday school devotions and the teaching very much in Sunday school. This morning we want to talk about a quality that I think is a very important quality for each of us in our life. It's a quality I think that is very nice to have around when things are going backwards. When there's a forgotten phone call and there's missed deadlines and there's penalties, or maybe there's bail or trouble and this thunderstorm is coming. Or maybe when there's lost items. Yesterday, there was a boy that was looking for his backpack all over the house, attic to garage to everywhere. We're having school on Monday, and there's no backpack. Or maybe there's a miscommunication. Remember a few months ago, we had a meeting to plan Winter Bible School, and one of the bishops drove quite a distance, but he went to the wrong place. He went to PMC office. And we were at Providence Church House. So, apparently he was already running late, but till he got to Providence, he wasn't at our meeting very long. And he had another appointment and left. So he spent quite a few hours on the road and didn't get very much of the meeting. Miscommunication. There's difficult people that you may work with. I may work with, whether it's co-workers or others. The title of the message is Be Patient. Will we ever get to the place in life that we are so grown up and so mature that patience is not a problem? I think it's something that we probably will need all our life. You may be here this morning and you think, well, just once you have your little children trained a little more, you'll need less patience. And you'll find out that you're going to need patience with your school children. You'll find out that you need patience with your teenagers as you sit and talk with them and try to help them connect to your desires. And maybe once the children are all gone, maybe there's less need of patience. I don't know. But maybe there's health difficulties. And I remember being at Fairmount one time, and I saw some frustration between the residents because I think it was one, there was a group area, and the one resident got his or her wheelchair on the paper of another one, and the person was reading, and they were frustrated that this person got on their newspaper. It tells me that the need for patience continues, and it's going to continue. If you and I end up at Fairmount, we're going to need patience. So it's a very important thing, I believe, that will never go away for our life. Be patient. I'll just give a definition. What I found, the definition of patience is bearing pains and trials calmly and without complaint. Just get that last part. Bearing pains and trials calmly or without complaint. Webster's gave four definitions. The second one is manifesting forbearance under provocation or strain. Third one is not hasty. Fourth one is steadfast despite opposition, difficulty, or adversity. As I said, I believe learning patience, applying patience to life is fairly important to succeed in life. Whether you're a school teacher or a parent or a youth. But is that the main reason that we should develop patience? Is because it's the way to succeed in life. If you aren't patient, you might get fired. Now, the main reason, brethren and sisters, this morning is that Jesus was patient. I was impressed with a verse in 1 John. I'd like to show this verse to you. Most preached a different message this morning. But 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. I'd like to underscore that our interest is in being patient this morning is because we are a Christian. 1 John 2, 6 says, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." As Christians this morning, as we study the life of Jesus, we see that he was a very patient individual. And we're Christians, so we desire to be patient, to be like Christ. I marvel at Jesus' patience. Patient with people. You think about how intelligent Jesus was. And yet I could say in my own words that Jesus was very smart. What didn't he know? He could even read hearts. He could be here and look over the audience and just never met you before, but look at you and know exactly right where you are, your heart. He knew that. So what didn't he know? He understood. He created the earth, created you and I. But he was with the poor people. He was with unlearned people much of his ministry. And he was patient with those people that were needy, like in our Sunday school devotion, our devotions here, blind people and poor people, difficult people. He was kind to them. He was helpful to them. He didn't intimidate people in any way. And yet he was so, had everything. That is marvelous. So we endeavor to be like Jesus. Of course, God is very patient. In Psalms 86, verse 15, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth." Doesn't use the word patient, but I get that meaning from the long-suffering. And plenteous in mercy and truth. We need to be individuals that are patient so that we can be a witness to Jesus Christ. There's a number of areas we like to think about applying patience to. Let me open your Bibles to Luke chapter 9. Or Numbers chapter 9, I'm sorry. Numbers chapter 9, verses 15 through 23. We'd like to first consider that we need to be patient with God's plans and timing. Get this from this little account here of the children of Israel and being patient with God's plans and timing. Numbers chapter 9, verse 15. "And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely, and the tent of the testimony, and even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed, and in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord they pitched. As long as the cloud abode above the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle, many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents, and according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud abode from even until the morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed, whether it was by day or by night, that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Or whether it were 2 days, or a month, or a year, that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents, and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tents, and at the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. We like to consider the first point is patient with God's plans and timing. Think about it, how it was for them. You know, it would have been maybe a perfect day to travel. I'm in the mood to travel. I'm in the mood to walk. I'm in the mood to walk 10 miles a day. We're having our families, maybe there was Simeon's family that they were going to have a baby in 2 months, so now's a good time. Well, unfortunately, it wasn't for them to decide. I'm sure there's times when they wished they could have controlled that cloud, but they couldn't. They couldn't control the cloud. What was needed for them to have a, what we could say, a happy arrangement? That they were simply not in control of the cloud and the fire by night. I believe what was very important is that they trusted God. He knows. He knew each family's situation. He had knowledge of every family in the camp. He had knowledge of every individual in the camp. Perhaps that influenced, I would think so, God knowing, you know, how many people were, I guess they were not sick. God kept them from that, didn't he? Shoes didn't wear out. But that was so important that they could be happy with this, is to trust to God. And secondly, that they had submission. That they could accept this. You know that it's God that decides when we travel, when we stay. It's God that decides whether I'm just at the tent for a month or a year. Submission. And I believe also obedience was also very important. It mentions that a few times here. According to the commandment of the Lord, they journey. They recognized that God was their authority and they needed to obey. We may be here this morning and question, you know, what's God's plan for me? Sometimes young people face that. Where does God want me? Does God have a plan for me? You may feel like you're wasting time in your tent, and others are traveling, and it seems like you're not. I'd like to say this morning that these waiting times that God gives us can be very much growing times. Waiting times. And I think of many in Scripture that Moses had years in the wilderness before he was called. It was a waiting time. He may have wondered what's ahead. God did have a plan for his life. Waiting times can be growing times. We can think of Joseph and what he'd seemed like wasted years in prison. Notice in verse 22, they uses the word of abode in their tents. it would almost seem like a pretty boring situation, wouldn't it? Maybe you're thinking that you're doing some tent time, but I would encourage you to make it good. Make it good. Trust God in your situation. Accept how God has led in the past, that God has worked in my situation, in your situation, and this is where we are. And obey the direction that God is giving. Patient with God's plans and timing. I believe there's individuals that sort of fight God throughout their life. They're never quite at rest of where God has them. And I believe it's so important that where God has us, that we're at rest with it, and we're finding joy. And you think of the individuals here that found that in this cloud and fire, that they found rest with it. There's others that may have been there and just were fighting it. Why don't the cloud move? Others look at it with joy. Hey, it looks like the cloud's staying today. We'll just stay here and we'll enjoy the day. I think we can learn some lessons from this. God still is on his throne today. And is we believe in the providence of God, how he works behind the scenes. He works in lives today just like this, moving the cloud and the fire in the individual Christian lives and in the church. We believe that God is on his throne, that things are not just happening by chance. We believe in the providence of God. Someone shared a little short story just recently how there was a sister traveling. She missed the flight, and she finally was going to need to stay overnight in Detroit or Chicago. And she got a taxi driver, and the taxi driver took her to the wrong hotel, and so she needed the second taxi driver. And the second taxi driver was so glad to see her because there was some witness of people from Canada down, did some witnessing, and he had a number of some Mennonites, and he lost it, and he wanted to get in contact. And this girl had Canadian background, and she was a great help to this individual, this second taxi driver. Something just happened in the last week or two here. And it was just, again, tells us how God works in circumstances to answer people's prayers. He is involved in details of life. Secondly, we're thinking of patience. Is patient under provocation of others. That's something that I believe we all are faced with. Moses faced it. Let me turn your Bibles to Numbers chapter 20, verse 7 through 11. We talked about this recently, I believe, on a family level. Moses' failure with hitting the rock instead of speaking to it. Numbers 20, verse 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so that thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod before the Lord, as he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beast also. Maybe I'll read verse 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Moses' failure was related to his feelings toward the people. The Bible does say he was the meekest man in all the earth. He was tested many times. He was tested for years with these people, and many times he had victory. And many times he remained calm and constrained under the provocation of others. We marvel at Moses. Well, this time he failed. What is the triggers? Things that trigger impatience and an outburst, like, ye rebels, or you are so disgusting. You're getting along with people is so very important. And I believe God may sometimes send difficult people in our life to do some pruning in our life, to make us better ourselves. To think that Moses, he had victory so many times, but this one time, God, as a just God, we don't completely understand it, but there needed to be a consequence for this. How are we doing when we are tested? Others get under our skin. How do we feel? I believe that's one of the ways we can get victory is controlling our feelings. Because if we have wrong feelings, I believe it'll be followed with wrong actions and wrong words. We need God's help, and we'll think about that a few things at the end, how we can help ourselves when particularly people can pull the wrong triggers and provoke us. Moses was tested with people, and we can be tested today with people. Thirdly, is patient in stressful circumstances. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. We all get those stressful circumstances. It was mentioned about the teachers. You may have some stressful circumstances in your classroom this coming year. It could be that, you know, everybody gets that new concept. But here it is, that same little boy. He don't have it. He's delaying the day. He's unfocused. We may begin to think, why does this need to be? Tension can build. Or it could be in the home setting, stressful circumstances. Costly mistakes. How do we relate? I remember in some years ago, in getting something fixed at Paul's older body, he said most of the things he fixes happen in parking lots. And I think about that frequently. Every time we have another thing happen in our parking lot, yeah, I guess this is how it happens. Things get hit and bent and damaged. How do we relate about it? Stressful circumstances, wrong mistakes. Remember pulling in a business and the yard was all brown. It's like, whatever, it should be green. Well, later I learned one of the owners got the wrong spray. A few years ago, we had a neighbor that did that to his peach trees, sprayed weed killer on them. Costly mistake. You know, when it's us, then we don't have much to say. But what do we say when it's the other one? What do we say? Stressful circumstances can be health. It can be terminal illness. Last weekend, I visited a sister in the Lord at a care home there in Versailles. And she's obviously losing her mind. She talked about her mother. And her mother isn't living. And she said, talked about her, she's going to visit her mother. Stressful circumstances. To be patient. To be patient in these things that we wish were different. We wish we could change. And we may think it's not fair. Other families don't have to face this. Maybe a parent that has dementia and ends up needing years of care. Well, we need to take courage and be patient under these sorrows of life. Some of these small areas, I believe as we find our way with the small things in life, small disappointments, it will help us to be patient in the greater sorrows of life. Fourthly, is patient as God works in lives and situations. 2 Peter. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There are times in life that we wish that God would fix something, and that he would fix it quick, because we're just sort of tired of the way it is. But there's no quick fix. In Psalms 86, verse 15, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth." We desire those quick fixes where our troubles go away and situations change. So often, God does not choose to work in that way. Sometimes he does. There's been anointings where there's obviously a miraculous healing, and the problem and trouble has gone away. But there's times where it goes on. Hudson Taylor said that there are three indispensable requirements for a missionary. And that is, number one, patience. Number two, patience. Number three, patience. We need to be patient in situations. We need to let God work in situations and lives. We tend to become impatient, and we wish that there would be a quick change in, it could be somebody's life, it could be a child, one of our children, one of our relatives. We need to be patient as God works in lives and situations. Romans 2, verse 4 says, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." Something that we need to think about, brethren and sisters, that will help us to be patient with others, is thinking about how God has been patient with us and how he has been longsuffering. And God has been very good to us, to help us in our journey. I think as we do that, as we are humbled with how God has been so patient with me, it's going to help me to be less amazed at how God is being so patient with some other people, is to think about how patient God has been with me. Because there's so many of life situations that drag on instead of going away. And we need to find an answer in God, putting situations in God's hands and being patient. Fifthly and lastly is that patient for God's salvation. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. I'm sorry, I'm in Hebrews. Yeah, Hebrews. James 5, 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husband waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. We need to have confidence that God will make a way for us. There will be a salvation in some way. It may not be the way that we thought, but there will be a salvation. We recently read Exodus 14 of how the Israelites were so frustrated with Moses there. And they were really hard on Moses while they stood by the Red Sea. They said, because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians that we should die in this wilderness. They were angry and upset with Moses. This was a time Moses was patient. His response is, Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. And the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Of course, we know what happened. God made a way for them through the Red Sea. And today, as God's people, we need to believe that God will make a way for us. There is a way for us. We may feel like we're up against that Red Sea, and where do we turn in life? And the life that I dreamed, what I wanted, isn't turning out. There's more troubles than what I expected. At times like that, we need to believe God. We need to strengthen our faith. We need to believe God. Moses was believing God. There was no evidence that something would happen. It seemed like, hey, we're done for. There they come. There's a sea here. And we need to believe that at any point in our life, God can perform a miracle. He can do something that we never expected because he's God. We need to have a strong faith in God. God is glorified when his people get up against, and they don't get angry, they don't get frustrated, but they have faith. They believe in God that he'll make a way for them. Conclusion. How can I be more patient this week? How can I be a little more patient this week than I was last week? First of all, I believe we need to ask God for help. Ask God for help. We do not have the power within ourselves. We need power from God to be patient. When you look at what patience is, the definition is bearing pains and trials calmly and without complaint. Manifesting forbearance under provocation or strain. Not hasty, steadfast, under opposition, difficulty, or adversity. And brethren and sisters, we do not have it in ourselves. We need God's help. We need to pray to God, and God, I need you. I'm getting frustrated. I'm getting angry. God, help me to be patient. Help me to be calm. Help me to have a tranquility in this situation. And secondly, I believe we need love. Love will triumph over frustration. You know, we can become frustrated, and we mentioned young parents, the frustrations, the things that little children get into, how they can take your time, delay you. At the end of the day, you don't get much done. Love. Love will triumph over frustration. It will help you later to work with your older children. And thirdly is forgiveness. I believe that impatience often has a little bit of anger mixed with it. Just a little angry about it. You know, you're making me late. You're messed up. My nice stuff. You're just, yeah. You see how impatience, a little bit of anger mixed with it. And what's the answer for that? Well, I believe it's forgiveness. Forgiveness. We will be wronged. People will mess up our nice stuff. I think it was in Lancaster last night. It looked like somebody scraped some cars. It's what happens when people are on their phones and they in town. They mess up nice cars along the street. Not a good feeling for a lot of people. What are you going to do? Forgiveness. There's other things that people do. They can say unkind things. They may make life difficult. Forgiveness. Say, God, you allowed it to happen. I'm going to forgive. And you know what? That starts making us more relaxed. Instead of getting impatient and angry and blood pressure going up, we're resting. May God help us to be like Christ. Christ. We could have looked at Jesus, his many situations he faced, particularly at the end of his life, how he was wrong, he was misunderstood, he was misrepresented, and there's no indication anywhere that he became impatient and angry about it. That's marvelous. May we have that type of power. I believe that type of power is available for us. And when an individual is of such, people will marvel and they will say, huh, that person has been with Jesus. There's no way he could respond like this without another power. May God help us to this end. Let's kneel for prayer.